Good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail, is with us. He's across the campfire.
Well, Luke, it looks like we have got some excellent eating ahead of us right there in front of us. That campfire is just about cooked down enough to where there's some good coals. So, tell you what, we've talked about all kinds of things the last couple of weeks, but we've really also talked about cooking some birds. Tell me some of your favorite recipes.
Well, I've got some good ones, and I've been in the outdoors many, many camps for many, many years. One that I learned from an outdoor writer friend of ours, both of ours, is Bob Hood. He cooks with cast iron a lot, Dutch kettles. But this you can use this for turkey breast. You can use it for grouse. I cooked a grouse recently on a hunt up in Colorado using this method. It's really simple. But take a number 10 or a number 12 Dutch kettle. Now, you need the type with the recessed lid on top and the three legs. You want it to be up off the ground, and you want the top configured so it'll hold coals. Melt 2 sticks of unsalted butter in your kettle. Now take 3 rows of Ritz crackers, put them in a Ziploc bag, and pulverize them. A Ritz cracker meal. Now, this is sounding good already, isn't it, Larry?
Well, the butter sounded real good to begin with to that Dutch oven.
Okay. Well, take your let's just say we're going to cook quail, for instance, or pheasant breast, whatever. You can even use, if you have to, you can use chicken wings for this. Take the pieces.
Forbid, let's talk about wild game.
Yeah. If your hunt is not successful.
Oh, well,
chicken wings will. Okay. Dredge them in the butter, and your each piece of, say, quail, for instance, your whole quail. Leave the legs on the quail. In the butter, and cover it heavily with the Ritz cracker meal. Place them back in, around the Dutch kettle, the bottom of the Dutch kettle, and the extra cracker meal that you have, sprinkle it all on top. Now, this will give it a really good crust. Now, for seasoning, you can use whatever seasoning you like. I usually sprinkle, there's a Head Country all-purpose seasoning that I like to use, but you can use anything from salt and pepper to whatever. Your favorite seasoning. Now, if it's a number 10 Dutch kettle, you want to put, say, for instance, we're not using campfire coal. Say we're using charcoal briquettes.
Right.
If it's a number 10, you want to put 13 of them on top of it, 3 more than the size Dutch kettle. So that'd be 13 briquettes on top on the recessed area, and underneath it, you want to put 3 less. If it's a number 10, you want to put 7 briquettes. And all you have to do, Larry, put those on there and let it go for 1 hour, come back, and I'm going to guarantee you that is some of the best bird, game, whatever you're cooking in there that you can imagine.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what, that does sound good. Now, cooking with those Dutch ovens, there's an art to that, I'll tell you. And I was amazed when you started talking about 13 briquettes and 7. I love that preciseness because there is an art to it. You know, to me, I love to cook too. And I've had the opportunity to spend time with guys like Jim Zumbos, an old dear friend, outdoor writer, and has written I don't know how many cookbooks. And I've had the time to spend with him in those hunting camps. And Jim and I spent a lot of time trying to outdo each other when we came down to the cooking part of it. But one of the things, we just came out of dove season, and I tell you what, to me, a lot of times you look for some kind of maybe a little hors d'oeuvre or something like that, or just maybe an appetizer. And to me, the easiest thing in the world to do is to take that dove breast, carve that breast off of each side of that keel bone, if you will, wrap it in a good piece of bacon, and inside that bacon, as you're wrapping, maybe put a little bit of onion on one side and maybe even a little bit of jalapeno pepper on the other side. Wrap that thing up, put it on a real hot set of coals, leave it on there for just a few moments, turn it over on the other side to where that bacon it gets an opportunity to kind of soak into that meat a little bit, get it off of there and eat it before it gets to be too cool, because the thing about it is all game meat, for the most part, whether it's venison off an elk or deer or whatever, is always going to be a whole lot better if it's a little bit on the rare side. And when you do that, just be sure that you've accumulated limits from several different people so that you've got enough to go around, because those are almost like eating peanuts. Once you get started on one of them, you can't quit. Next thing you know, that appetizer's almost become a full meal. Now, Luke, you probably a pretty good idea. We talked about two different recipes. I'll tell you what, let's post those online. With all this talking about food, it's got me hungry, and we're coming up on the noon hour. I'll tell you what, you know, we'll be back here next week, same time, same place. Got any idea about what we may be talking about then?
Larry, there is absolutely no telling, but I bet you we might give another recipe or two. What do you say?
I love it.
Support for High Plains Outdoors comes from the Dallas Safari Club. Since 1972, the Dallas Safari Club has been the gathering point for hunters, conservationists, and wildlife enthusiasts. This year's convention is in Dallas and is held January the 3rd through the 6th. For more information, go online to biggame.org.